Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime. I'm your host, Walter. And on this episode of the podcast, we are going to continue the conversation in the Cactus League. We're going to continue to talk about the NL West, but we're going to switch it on over to the orange and black because we have not had, we're about six, seven episodes in on this season of the 2023 version of Passion for the Pastime, and we have yet to really digest the 2023 San Francisco Giants, and there is a ton to talk about. I mean, this offseason was just unreal. We went from having Aaron Judge, Arson Judge, whatever you want to call him, to having Carlos Correa, to having Michael Conforto. I mean, that is literally how it went down in this offseason. So we're gonna dissect it. We're going to talk about some of the current Giants that we have on staff, some of the future Giants that are going to be coming to Oracle Park, to a baseball game near you. We're going to talk about some of these guys, but we're going to break it all down because we haven't had the opportunity to talk some orange and black this year, and I'm going to welcome in my very special guest, because who better to talk some orange and black baseball, some Giants baseball by the Bay, than the great Susan Slusser, who covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. We're gonna break it down. I mean, we're talking rule changes, so I'll get her initial thoughts on that. But we're gonna break down this team. Are we gonna go to a 6-man rotation? What is the situation at catcher? I mean, you name it. How many guys are gonna play first base? I mean, we have a lot to talk about this early in spring. So I'm gonna waste no further time. On the other side, we will be joined by the great Susan Slusser, covering the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. I am your host, Walter, and now for my next guest, we continue our talk of the Cactus League, more specifically with the NL West, where the orange and black try to hold their own in a division that has been dominated by the Dodgers. Now you have the Padres to factor in to everything this season. She covers the Giants for the San Francisco Chronicle. Extremely excited to welcome in my next guest, Susan Slusser, and you can hear Susan on KMBR every week during the regular season. Susan, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today? How's Arizona treating you?
Hi, Walter. It is such a pleasure to talk to you and have you asking me the questions for once. This is much better. Yeah, it's good. It's been a kind of a cold spring, it's been an interesting spring. They always are, but this one seems, there's so many new guys and a lot of really exciting young players, which we haven't necessarily seen over the last few years with the Giants. So I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's definitely been a different spring. As you mentioned, the weather has just been insane, both in the Bay Area and in Arizona. I know it was snowing down in Arizona a couple days ago. So it's really exciting just to see these. We have a lot of new storylines. It's not the same old guys that we've used to have with Brandon Belt, Brandon Crawford. I mean, it's still there, but no Buster Posey for two seasons. It's a new cast of guys, a lot of new players that we have to take in. But before we get into that, before we get into the team, Susan, I just want to get your initial thoughts on the rule changes. I mean, we've heard some conversations with Logan Webb, with Alex Cobb, being vocal about the rule changes. We've seen the shift violations being implemented now with Brandon Crawford. What is your initial takeaway early in spring about these rule changes?
Yeah, I'm one of the people that likes the clock. I think players will adjust to it. The game, certainly the idea for a long time from Major League Baseball has been let's get the pace of play to be a little more sprightly, and nothing was really working. And, MLB, somewhat to its credit, at least did the things that it could control initially, like, cut down a little bit on the commercial times in between innings and stuff like that. But either the umpires weren't enforcing some of the rules about pace of play, or the players were a little too hesitant to really go full bore. So I mean, to me, this is a little bit on the players if they don't like it. But it seems like most everybody is taken to the clock pretty well. I don't really see the need for the restrictions on throwovers. I think that's going to change the game, and particularly the running game, significantly. The bases, I think they say they cut down on injuries, the bigger bases. If that's the case, good, I guess. I think also the idea is maybe to have a little bit more running there, too. And I don't really care that much about the defensive shifting, but as a matter of sort of principle, I don't like legislating extra rules for a game that's supposed to be kind of simple. You like the game to, at the pro level, to be not that much different from what kids are playing. And now there's rule after rule after rule, including the shift rule. And to me, even a standard alignment is technically a shift, right? I think you should be able to put your players wherever you want. I also think you should be able to use a position player to pitch whenever you want. It doesn't happen all that often. It's happened a little more, but fans usually like it. Usually there's a good reason for doing it, and they're legislating when you can do that too. So I don't know. Three batter minimum, the shift rules, these little extra layers of things, don't care for them. And don't get me started on the Ghost Runner.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, we were hoping that the Ghost Runner was a temporary fix, right? But then now it's gonna stay. So we can't really complain about it too much, and I'm with you on that. It's a lot to digest, especially this spring, Susan, with all these rule changes. And, as you mentioned, I mean, we have five major rule changes taking place this spring. So it's going to be a different brand of baseball that we're going to see. But I am with you on the pitch clock. I was a little bit hesitant the first time that I saw it in spring when it was the Mariners and the Padres. Watching it on TV, it was a little different, but I do have a little bit of experience watching the pitch clock being implemented in Sacramento. I'm up in Sacramento quite often, so I got used to it. And, I will tell fans, you won't notice it as much. You won't notice it as much, but it's pretty funny on social media. People are are having fun with it already, Susan. There's a 20-second strikeout with the Pirates earlier this season, and they were pairing it up with Usain Bolt running his fastest time in the Olympics. Pedro Baez throwing one pitch in that amount of time that a player or that a team took to finish an entire half inning. So people are having fun with it, and people are talking about baseball again. If it's for the right reasons, I mean, we'll see. But people are having fun with it right now.
Yeah, and I think fans will certainly notice that they're able to, make their dinner reservations now maybe a little bit more easily, or get back to the babysitter, on time. I think those things are probably all good things. They don't have to pay the extra hour for parking some nights. The game had changed significantly from, I know a lot of purists go like there should be no clock. But you go back and watch games from the 70s, when they show them on MLB Network, or if you find them on YouTube, and they were so much quicker. The 3-plus-hour game was not the norm. The 3.5-hour game was really unusual, and baseball really needs to get back to more like, the 2.5-hour game, and, every once in a while, throwing in a 2-hour game, no one's going to complain.
We're talking with Susan Slusser of the San Francisco Chronicle. We've been talking about rule changes. So let's switch the conversation a little bit, Susan. Let's talk about the actual team. And we have, for the first time in a while, the San Francisco Giants find themselves in, I guess, a position battle at first base. We've been so used to Brandon Belt just manning that position for the past decade. So there's no true first baseman. Brandon Belt leaves to the Toronto Blue Jays, leaves a void at first. We may see five different guys at first base this season. Who figures to get the most playing time at the position at first base?
Well, I hate to say it, but it's kind of been the case the last few years with all of Belt's injuries. But yeah, I mean, it'll probably basically just be a Lamont Wade, Wilmer Flores platoon, maybe J.D. Davis once in a while over there. Yeah, that's what I don't think that that's a position where they are really worried. I think they feel like the big camp position battle is first and foremost, obviously, catcher with four guys going for two spots. Maybe one of the last bullpen jobs. But everyone who's going to play first base is in camp, including, crazily enough, Jock Peterson, who's kind of the backup left-handed hitting depth piece for first base. I think that if he plays much there, something's probably gone pretty wrong. I think it would take basically an injury to Lamont Wade for that to happen very often. But in which case, I think they'd probably, you know, make a move and call somebody up. But the really interesting thing there is if Ronald Guzman, the former Rangers first baseman, winds up somehow making the team at some point. We won't be out of camp, but maybe sometime this year as a two-way player, because he looks like he has some really interesting skill on the mound. He could be that backup left-handed hitting depth at first base as a two-way player and not cost them a slot in the pitching roster. So that'd be fun. He has to pitch 20 innings in the big leagues to actually qualify as a two-way player. But he's got enough time at first. So that's a weird, fun little twist. And that's been one of the really interesting stories of the spring so far. He looked great his first time out and not so good his second time. But, you know, he's barely pitched since he was 9. So we're going to give him quite a break.
That's a long time. That's a long time since he was 9 years old. So we'll give him a break there. But Susan, you mentioned the position battle, and let's just dive into it with the catchers. It seems that all these guys are playing hard. I mean, they're all motivated, right? All the catchers, I believe, in camp have hit a home run already in spring. So going through it early March here, who has the upper hand at the catcher position?
I don't think anybody's emerged, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Giants prioritize. Each of these guys has their own pluses, I think. Roberto Perez is in camp as on a minor league deal. He's obviously the one real veteran. He catches beautifully. Pitchers love throwing to him. If he's on your big league roster to start the season, that makes sense with the experience and the fact that he really knows how to handle a pitching staff, and guys enjoy throwing to him. Joey Bart has come out of the gate looking really good at the plate. He is constantly improving behind the plate. He actually was better there, I think, in the first half last year than people realized. And then I think the kind of hitting woes kind of took an overall toll on him. Plus, he, you know, he caught something more like 20 games more than he ever had in his life. So, which also obviously physically kind of wear you down. But, you know, they know what they have in Joey Bart, and I don't think anybody in the organization has given up on him. He says and does all the right things, works his butt off, all of that. Austin Wins, they know exactly what they have. I thought he was very underrated in a backup role last year, came in and did exactly what they needed. Pitchers like throwing to him a lot, just steady, and he'll mix in a little offense here and there. He's looked good. And he's on a minor league deal too, so they have flexibility with Perez and with Wins and with Bart. The one guy they don't have flexibility with, kind of saving the best for last because he's the most interesting, is Blake Sable, who everyone probably knows by this point is a Rule 5 draftee who's mostly played outfield, but he can catch. The Giants are really working with him on some of the finer details of catching. He seems like he picks things up very quickly. He's certainly got a lot of athletic ability. He's a big, strong guy, and he can hit. Now, we don't know if he could hit at the big league level, but he's certainly hitting in spring training. His track record throughout the minors was that he hit, and he's a left-handed hitter. Having a left-handed hitting catcher to platoon with any of the other guys would be really, really valuable. I think the Giants would love that, and he is the one guy that right now has no roster flexibility. I'm assuming Roberto Perez has an out in his minor league deal with the Giants. It's probably fairly soon after the start of the regular season because he does have such veteran status. But it's going to be a long time, I think, before the Giants even get close to kind of winnowing down this competition. I think they want to see a lot more from all four of them, and they're not going to tip their hands. And they might not go with straight, you know, this guy's hitting the snot out of the ball out of the spring, or this guy's throwing out X runners. It might come down to, you know, roster flexibility or maybe some things behind the scenes that we don't know about which pitchers like throwing to.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really interesting to follow that the catcher situation. And definitely, Susan, if there's something I can get behind as a guy that wears his glasses, I'm all in for Blake Sabre.
How many big league catchers wear glasses? It's only been a handful. I got a whole list of at one point of big leaguers that have worn glasses. And first of all, it's not a big list,
no.
But there have been very few catchers. We all want to apparently have a none of us were there because it's in the split spot road game. But the Sean Manaea Blake Sable battery in the regular season would be the first Samoan battery. Apparently they did it at Maryvale the other day, but we're going to say that doesn't count because none of us were there, but we would love to see that at the big league level too. That would be really fun. But yeah, big personality, Blake Sable, super fun, very chatty, kind of what every reporter wants in a catcher is a super friendly, super chatty guy. So, I think all four of these guys are great, but Sable right now is really the one that is certainly the most interesting with his background.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting to follow that, especially with Blake Sable factoring in there. It's always fun to have these surprises in camp because Blake Sable is one of them. Brett Wisely also is surprisingly doing a great job at camp right now. Do you think that he has a chance at cracking the Major League roster?
Well, I think it would take an injury. I think the two guys that the Giants are kind of looking at is sort of backup middle infielders, Ethan Diaz and Brett Wisely. Are both guys who could handle that role. I think on the big league level, I don't think there's much question. I just don't think that they have that need right now. They need to make sure whoever it is can play short because right now, the second shortstop on the roster is Tyro Estrada, who's the second baseman. Now they've got a lot of guys that can play second base too. So, that's no problem. But they need to know that Wisely or Diaz could handle the job in the event of an injury. And both of them look absolutely fine. Wisely's even got a little pop. So I think, these are the sorts of things like, hey, you'd like to have a utility player on your roster. But if it's between that and maybe having an extra outfielder, I think they'd probably go with the extra outfielder for now.
All right, we're talking with Susan Slusser of The Chronicle, covers the San Francisco Giants, and we have some changes in the rotation. We lose Carlos Rodon, but they've added depth to the starting rotation by adding Sean Manaea, Ross Stripling. Do you see the Giants, is there any talk about them going to a six-man rotation, or if they're going five, who would you think would figure to be the odd man out?
Well, I think the key here, again, and something the Giants love is flexibility. I think they will have a six-man rotation at times. I don't think it's something that we will see from the get-go or all year long. That's a little tough to do. But I think now and then, they'll probably do it. Or something where one guy piggybacks off another, and I'm just throwing names out there. I'm not saying this is necessarily it, but say Sean Manaea is a guy that, you have her five innings and then Jacob Junis comes in and throws the last four and you've saved your bullpen that day. So that to me is maybe a little bit more likely. I think all seven of them will be on the roster. Junis is the one that obviously goes to the bullpen in air quotes. And the first week they might not have all seven on the roster because they don't need a starter, a fifth starter or sixth starter, obviously, that first week with the two off days they have. So, what it looks like by, say, the end of April, I'm not entirely sure. Likely one of those other guys probably winds up in the pen at least some, but I couldn't tell you necessarily who it is. It won't be Webb, won't be Cobb, probably wouldn't be Manaea the way he's throwing right now. Kind of pick him, maybe a Stripling, Junis kind of thing. Di Sclafani coming off the ankle injury and missing most of last year, maybe. I don't know.
How has Anthony Di Sclafani looked coming off of that ankle injury or ankle surgery? He pitched pretty good in his first outing at spring. Has he mentioned anything? How's he feeling?
Yeah, he looks great, feels great. I mean, he was pitching on a completely unstable ankle. Going back to the end of that really good 2021 season that he had, when he kind of started to see a little bit of a fall off in the second half, turns out you know, his push-off ankle was, the tendon was basically coming out of the groove constantly. Well, in fact, it turns out he doesn't have a groove in the ankle, so I'm not sure how he was able to, you know, handle that as well as did for so long. He had no idea that that's what he was dealing with. But yeah, he looks like Anthony DeSclafani from the first half of 2021. And if that's the case, I mean, we already know that the Giants' rotation is their strength. But if he's back to that kind of level, A, he won't be in the bullpen, and B, he will be, you know, potentially an all-star type consideration the way he was in 2021. He looks fantastic. Were it not for a defensive shift violation at one point, he might have had a perfect two innings. I mean, it's two innings, it's spring. None of this kind of means anything. The results really don't matter, especially for veterans. But for somebody coming off of surgery, you know, the stuff, they want to know how the stuff is. All the stuff was great. He threw all his pitches. Location was good. And he came out healthy and feels wonderful.
We're wrapping up here with Susan Slusser, the San Francisco Chronicle. You mentioned the 2021 season, and everybody remembers that as the greatest baseball season that the Giants have ever had. And so on Twitter yesterday, I guess, MLB Network was out at Scottsdale, and I saw Brandon Crawford went on MLB Network, and he was quoted as saying that this team is on paper better than that 2021 Giants team. Where do you stand on that? I mean, does he have something to go there?
I mean, I think you can look at it and say, well, Buster Posey's not out there. Yeah. And, you know, I really liked Longoria and Belt at the corners when they were healthy. So in terms of position players, I'm not sure I agree with them. But I think the pitching staff might be, certainly the rotation is deeper, might be better. And the bullpen, you know, the bullpen in 2021 was so good, but essentially it was the same bullpen last year. And they're so hard to predict and project. And it wasn't very good last year. I think the bullpen is much better this year. So the bullpen's going to determine a lot. But really, you guys all know, anybody that's paid attention to the Giants last year and the year before knows the biggest difference after Posey not being there anymore was defense. And I don't know if the defense has improved significantly enough to say that's a difference between an 81 win team like they were last year or a 107 win team. I think maybe a little bit, you know, I think probably better than last year's record and the defense is that, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think they're going to be at the level of the Dodgers or Padres. I'm pretty sure nobody thinks that at this point, but hey, you know what? The Giants always play better when the expectations are lower. They like to kind of sneak up on teams. They like to be a little bit of a surprise. And I think they like playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they might have every reason to have one because I think they're going to get discounted.
They like playing the role of the underdog. That was the key determining factor in all the years that they won the World Series and in that 2021 season. Susan, before I let you go, I do want to ask you a little bit about these young guys at camp. Casey Schmidt, Vaughn Brown, Kyle Harrison. Unlikely for any of these guys to crack the opening day roster unless there's an injury, of course. But them getting a shot would be on a need basis, of course. But Casey Schmidt, Kyle Harrison starting a AAA, likely Vaughn Brown. I think he's going to be in Richmond. Who do you think gets the call first? And from this young crop of prospects, what's their path to the big leagues look like?
It's really impossible to say because, like as you mentioned, it's probably going to be more determined by injury. Given the Giants' pitching depth, it's hard to imagine that Harrison would be the first one, even though I think he's probably closest to major league ready. But you never know. I mean, if he is absolutely lights out and everyone expects him to be, it's certainly going to be tempting because he's going to be, you hate to say like, this guy has potential all-star written all over him, but he does have that kind of stuff. So, if he continues to progress the way they imagine he will, he will be up. I mean, certainly in September, maybe before, and everybody else probably based on injury. Or, you know, in Schmidt's case, if David Villar is not performing the way they think that he should at third, you know, he could wind up getting a little bit of an earlier call. Schmidt could wind up getting an earlier call. Not quite sure he's quite as ready. Vaughn Brown is really interesting. Works his behind up. He will be here. There are a lot of guys. I think the Giants' farm system is really underrated. I think because some of the higher draft picks haven't panned out as well as hoped, but they've got a lot of guys in sort of the later rounds who are way exceeding expectations, and they're really fun to watch. And I think we'll certainly see a fair share of some of them, and including some guys we haven't named. Keaton Wynn is a pitcher who I think his stuff is probably going to play really well at the big league level. We could see him at some point this year, if not certainly next year. There are a lot of, you know, good infielders, loads of good outfielders. And I think they're pretty well set with young players for a while.
A lot of great storylines to follow this spring. Susan, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today on the podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Walter.
The great Susan Slusser, ladies and gentlemen, and I do mean great. Susan is amazing. First of all, for her to take the time to join the podcast, really much appreciated in between a really busy spring, as you know. I mean, all these storylines, Susan is on it. So go ahead and give her a follow on Twitter if you're not already. Well, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Go ahead and give Susan a follow on Twitter at Susan Slusser to get all your up-to-date news on the San Francisco Giants this spring and the rest of the 2023 season. That was a lot of fun. We dived into a lot on that San Francisco Giants front. So I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation. I sure did. And it was actually really fun to have a conversation with Susan. Usually I'm just calling her. I'm saying, hey, Susan, you ready? Or I'm going to put you on hold for about 15 seconds. That's usually what our conversations, I sprinkle in a little nuggets here and there for our conversations on a weekly basis. But that's the first time that I've sat down and talked with her for about 20 minutes. So that was a lot of fun. Look forward to doing it again in the future. So again, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the podcast. I sure did. We're going to keep going on the Giants train this week. Going to probably have, probably, it's not confirmed, but a broadcaster from spring. I'll leave it at that because I'm going to leave my options open. If one guy can't make it, I have other guys. But we're going to do that. We're going to talk more Giants baseball later this week. So I hope you guys enjoyed this one. Continue to follow along Passion for the Pastime. Go ahead and subscribe where you get your podcasts. Go ahead and shoot us a follow. Recommend it to your friends. Get everybody in on this train because it's going to be fun this season. So you guys have a good one. Be safe, and we will talk to you next time.